Really good. I want to add my welcome to you, especially if it's your first time here. It's wonderful to have you with us. And we're going to just think for a short time, really, on the pictures we've seen so far. Let me lead us in prayer as we begin. Lord, thank you for this picture that we've seen building up, and these pictures we've seen one by one. We pray that you'll bless me to speak truly to them and that you'll bring them all together now. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Wasn't it a beautiful picture that we heard at the end of that last reading that David read for us about this baby lying in the manger? And I wonder if you noticed, as we read from that passage of Luke, it's such a familiar passage, the story of this baby being born and being laid in a manger. But with the familiar story, sometimes if you listen carefully, you find things you didn't notice before, at least I do. Sometimes things that you've forgotten or things you've never seen before. So did you notice what was said there in the last sentence of that reading? It's verse 7. If you did want to have a look, it's page 1026. Otherwise, just listen in. Either way is fine. But verse 7, the very last sentence there, the picture it's painting, it says, Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Mary gave birth to this little bundle, this baby boy, this precious little man, and she wrapped him in cloths, wrapped him up, wrapping her precious new little baby up in cloths. Can you see that picture of mother doing that? It reminded me, as I read it, of the birth of our second daughter, Lucy, who we wrapped up in cloths. I think the midwives probably did it. Just after she was born, that's her not long after, wrapped up again in cloths in that same way. New to the world, precious little bundle. And this, of course, was the real world. Lucy was born in the real world as well, but I'm talking about the birth of the Christmas child. That happened in the real world as well, which you sometimes forget, because you see all these Christmas cards and decorations and things. You see pictures like this with shafts of light and babies that glow. And sometimes you see pictures like this with people with plates around their heads, which I'm still trying to work out. And sometimes even you see pictures like this with string puppet people with plates around their heads. So sometimes it seems like it's a little bit unreal. But actually, it happened in the real world. The real tough world, in fact. Did you hear at the start of that reading how it talked about Caesar Augustus? He's basically the big boss, the kingpin of the world at that time. And he issued this decree that a census should be taken. And then in sentence 3, verse 3, it said everyone had to go. They had to go get censused, go get counted. Because Mary was living in a hard world where leaders would tell you to go somewhere, and you had to go, and you had to do what they said. Even if you were heavily pregnant, you had to go do what they said. She was living in a tough world, in the real world, same world as us. And in this real world, this tough world, a mother gave birth to a baby boy, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him down. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? But it's like a picture in another way as well. It's this picture of a mother wrapping her baby in cloths, but there's another pictureness to this whole thing. And this baby, in fact, is the final picture. The final picture of a big group of pictures. We've seen it in the last few weeks. Forgive me, I've used this illustration, but it's so important to get our heads around. Here at Soul Focus, we've been thinking about this. It's like when an artist paints a picture, and she might do a sketch, a sort of plan. And if you're not the artist, and you look at that sketch, you probably won't know what the final picture is going to look like. You won't know what the colours are going to be, the textures, all those kind of things. But when you see the final picture, it makes sense. It shows you the colours and the details. And even though you wouldn't have known the final picture from the sketch, when you look back at the sketch after seeing the final picture, you can see, oh yeah, that's what the sketch was pointing to. And that baby that Mary wrapped in cloths, Jesus, he was the final picture. He was the final picture. And tonight, we've heard a lot of the sketches, readings from the Bible leading up to, pointing to, making the way for this final picture. In that video we watched of the pictures layering over the top of one another until they all kind of pushed in the direction of that one final picture. It's a little bit like that, but the difference, I guess, is with what we've seen tonight, each little sketch kind of contributes another part of the plan for the final picture. So we've seen a lot of different sketches that have kind of pointed to the final picture in different ways. We saw the start of history, a sketch of the start of history, where in the beginning there was God and there was the Word and all things were created through the Word. And then we heard a sketch of humanity rebelling, turning away from God, doing the one thing, eating the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden, the one thing that God had told them not to do. And then we saw the consequences of that and the justice for it. And we find ourselves still living in this sketch, living without reference, without care or obedience to God, facing the consequences and living with the consequences of that. We heard the sketch of the promise that God would bless all the peoples of the earth through the descendants of one man, through Abraham. So the consequences of our rebellion against God are not the end of the story. There's more to come. And that's what Abraham shows us. We heard the sketch from the book of Isaiah, which John read for us. The book of Isaiah, the promise of light returning into the darkness, of an end to war of hostility, of a ruler of peace. Remember, to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, the wonderful counselor, almighty God, everlasting father, prince of peace. A ruler bringing peace through God's passion, his zeal, the zeal of the Lord Almighty. Another sketch. We heard a different sketch of a king, slightly different, as Dave pointed out for us, from the prophet Micah, describing a shepherd king. A shepherd king from Bethlehem, in fact. Again, it mentioned the bearing of a son. And this king, like a shepherd, would keep his flock safe, make them secure. All these sketches kind of made sense on their own, and you kind of could understand them, but not completely, and not entirely clear if or how they'd all fit together, until we then see a young woman, as we saw, getting visited by a messenger who says she's going to bear a son in an incredible way. And then there's this baby. This baby being wrapped in cloths in an animal keep in Bethlehem, placed in a feeding trough. And that baby is the final picture, the one all these sketches were pointing towards. And that's what we're about here this Christmas. It's this grand suite, this beautiful story, this wonderful painting of God's purpose for life in the world. And that is actually the picture that's captivated people at Christmas for 2,000 years now. The Christmas magic, the Christmas beauty, the stuff that underlies all the kind of Disney movies and stuff with this kind of idea that Christmas is nice actually comes from somewhere. It comes from the idea that something special happened that makes sense of everything. And yet it was unexpected. There was no way that you would expect God's King to come amongst us like that. There's no way you would have been able to put it all together that God's King was going to come as a baby lying in cloth, born to a peasant girl in a manger, put in a manger. You wouldn't have expected that. And yet, he came in a way that made sense of all the sketches, all that had been promised. In fact, we can go further than that. Not only did this final picture make sense of the sketches that we hear from through God's people in God's word, not only completes and sums and fills those up, but actually he fulfills all the sketches of humanity in one way or another. He makes a bigger claim in the end of the day than just fulfilling the sketches of the scriptures, which is big enough in itself, but that all of human kind of stories and desires and the sketches get fulfilled by him. You see, we've got this sense, we've got an inkling that there's a sketch in us, that there's a point and a purpose and a meaning to existence, that there's a reason to live. Occasionally, we have a deep and terrifying sense of the possibility that there might not be, that we might be wrong, that there might not be a point to anything. But in us, there's a sense that there should be a point to things. Is it right? We have tied up with that a sense of a deep, unshakable sense that it matters when things that are wrong are done, when evil happens, when people are abused, when people suffer, when we're greedy at someone else's expense. We have a sense that that matters. We have kind of a sketch built into us that that's the case. We can kind of see the outlines of it. And if you think about it, it would be very possible, even quite likely, that that wouldn't matter. That if evil's done, who cares? If, particularly if we're just accidents, then it doesn't matter. But yet, we have in us this sense, this kind of plan drawn into us, that it does matter. We have the sense that there's something great about heroism, risking or sacrificing yourself for someone else. We have a sense that there's something good about relationships, that they're vital, that they matter, that they're not just a side product, they're the real thing. We have the sense that love is a great virtue. We have all these kind of things that are in us. And this baby is like the final picture of those two. Because in this baby, these things all get brought together and shown to be true and real. In this baby, you see God, the power and might behind the universe, came as a baby. In a paradoxically beautiful way, in a kind of perfect upside down kind of way, God came as a baby and showed that life matters, shows that existence has a point. In fact, painted the colours and the details of that point, of that meaning, that purpose. He made clear the picture of why evil and suffering matter. Because if you just tell me they matter, that's all very well. But why? Well, he made clear why. He showed that actually people matter. And when you do evil, when you do wrong to them, it matters. Because he cares about it and he's going to do something about it. Relationships and heroism, self-sacrifice, they matter and they are real and they are beautiful. And this baby will fill in the colours and the details of why that's the case. Why the stories that we love are the stories that we love. They're not just because we love them. We don't just love heroes because we love them. We love them because that's the way things are. This baby shows us that. Because, of course, he didn't stay a baby. Didn't stay as a little picture. He was the final picture. But even as a baby, he was still a final picture that was going to grow, if you'll forgive me stretching my metaphors. But here, here's a final picture that was going to grow and live out the full purpose and intention. The full picture of Jesus moves, like we saw, from Christmas magic to Easter purpose. Now tonight, we've only really had time to sketch out this full picture and to kind of, it's the final picture, but we've only been able to sketch that final picture. I'm really playing with picture stuff here, I know, but stay with me. We've only had time to kind of sketch it out. So I'd love to invite you to keep coming along to Soul Focus through summer, into next year, starting with the midnight service perhaps next week, which is going to be here, or one of the other services. We'll have them up on the screen at the end. And you'll be able to see. I'd love you to keep coming, whether you've been with us through the year, all year, or tonight is your first time here, or anything in between, because there is a purpose to this Christmas magic. It has a direction. Even the coming of the Christmas child is only the beginning of the completion, the sketches. But as you get to know him in his fullness, then the final picture starts to make sense of everything. It starts to create a sense of meaning and purpose. Not that you'll understand everything there is to understand, but he starts to make sense of life and of the things that really matter as you get to know him. So I want to invite you to keep doing that. And that's why I'm going to finish now with our final reading. Our final reading is from John's Gospel, and it shows us starts showing us the fullness of why this baby came, the fullness of the final picture. It flows on from our very first reading. It's page 1082 in John's, 62 in John's Gospel. Our first reading began here. Our second reading picks up at verse 9, little number 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."